I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid. Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who have been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, and sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor that we are not acquainted with.
Oh, and as we hate missing out, we thought that we'd invite some of our celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us whilst we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
Oh, and it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet every flipping night.
Heaven forbid. Lou, you know how you always moan that you don't get a number four when the countdown goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Just then, mine went 5, 2, 1. I didn't get a 3 or a 4.
No.
Yeah.
You see, it's not just me, Sally.
It's you. It's me. It's not just you. It's me.
Thank goodness, because I thought it was going mental.
Tell me what. I need a wee, actually. That's news for you.
What? Thanks.
I'm going to. Shall I give you a quick rundown of my week before we.
Please do, Sally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've been to Edinburgh. Yeah. That was really nice. I've been.
How was your show?
Sorry about that noise. That was my show was really fun. I'm going to Belfast tomorrow with it. I've got the Harriet Dyer staying tonight. And I've been Googling dehumidifiers. That's something you like, isn't it?
Goodness.
You love them. You love a dehumidifier,
Sally,
don't you, Lou?
I do. The one in our cellar is great.
Tell me about it.
Oh, well, you have to leave them on all the time, despite what somebody says. We've got a little one and it's great. You just have to remember to go and empty it when it's full.
Yeah.
I say that to myself because it is in the cellar, so it's not obvious. So I do have to make an effort to go down to the cellar.
Well, I've got one.
Other than that.
I've got one in my little room, but I always use it for my laundry, to dry my laundry. So I feel like
yes.
I probably need another one in my living room.
Well, this one that we have, Sally, has got a button for laundering.
Yeah, mine
and
has.
And it has a difference.
Hence that.
So I think, just leave it on all the time, I would. You don't need one for a separate room.
Do you not?
I think just put it in your hallway.
Really?
Put it in your hallway and then that's central.
Well, yeah. Will, who was the one that recommended it to me, who did some building work here and said you need to be sucking out moisture from your flat. So I've got the little window vents and all that, but it was still kind of, it still affects the walls when the heating's on and the cold walls and it's an old house. So he recommended this one, but he said at night time, put it in a little room with your laundry, wet laundry, close the door and your laundry will be dry in the morning. So I'm thinking, but I still need one for when I'm breathing in bed.
Oh,
creating all that moisture.
Right. Do you think people are still listening?
Mm-hmm. I do, because I think people will be keen to know because they've all got homes and they all breathe. So.
All right.
You're looking at your Deirdre Barlow neck, are you?
Yeah, I was actually, I went and tried on my wedding outfit on Monday.
No. And?
Well, I was slightly concerned that they might have to buy some industrial panels to put into the outfit. But
like a marquee or something.
Like a marquee, yes. Just snipping off to the bake-off.
However, it fitted it.
However, yeah. And I took my mum with me.
Yeah.
Mum's not been particularly vocally excited about the wedding.
No.
Because that's my mum. But she said...
Did you hear that? Sorry.
Oh, gosh, you've got all the noises today, Sally. My mum said, I'm sorry I didn't cry. So, which is weird. But also she said, I didn't expect to say this, but you I don't think she meant it like this, but she said, you look really nice.
I didn't expect to say this.
Yeah. I don't think she meant...
Expecting, though? You didn't.
I don't know. She said, at one point, she went, well, I've got to be honest, I thought you'd be in dungarees.
Oh, I see. Okay. She was thinking that you were going to get married in like white dungarees. It looked like you were about to do a painting and decorating job.
Yeah.
But actually, you opted for a dress.
In a red outfit. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. It wasn't actually, she wasn't thinking she's going to look fucking awful in a wedding dress. It wasn't that. It didn't come from that place. It came from a
I don't think so.
Slightly
but
more
you never
sensitive.
Know with my
no,
mother,
you
do
don't
you?
Know, do you?
Yeah.
And she's got a dress now, hasn't she? You've taken her off to
she
get a
has.
Dress for the wedding.
Went and got her shopping and we've got a magic knickers, so that's
right.
good. So hopefully, yeah, we're all set to go, Sal. So that was this week. And then the Australians arrived today,
oh, look at
that. Which I'm thrilled about.
Oh, dear, it's going to be messy, isn't it? It's going to be really
it
messy.
Is. It's going to be really messy.
Have you got a few days off? I'm hoping you have.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, my tour starts on Sunday.
Oh, where are you going first?
In Portsmouth.
Oh, excellent.
In Portsmouth, yes.
Brilliant.
So, that'll be exciting.
Oh.
You know, just got to write the show now, so that'll be fine.
You've got a few days, Lou. You've got a few days.
Got a few days.
Yeah.
You've
got a few days, two of which are going to be hungover and drunk, but you've got a few days.
Yeah. Our guest, Suze Kempner.
Uh-huh.
How can she not have hangovers?
I know, she's so lucky. She's got a theory behind it, but I'm not sure that I believe that. Because she drank... No, actually, I'll tell you what, we'll let the listener listen, shall we?
I can't
disclose this information when...
No, Sally,
it comes from the horse's
let's just
mouth.
Listen.
And her mum's a dressage
Don't
instructor.
Call her a horse.
Oh,
yes!
Let's have a listen. Hello, Lou.
Good afternoon, Sally. Would you please address me by my correct title?
Hello, Mrs. Brimson. Lou is wobbling her boobs at the camera, listener, at the moment. It's your news, Lou. I know we say it again in the pod, in the record we've just done with Josh Weller, but you know what? It's exciting news. You tell everyone what happened at the weekend, where we've been.
Me and Sally got married.
We did. We thought it was about time.
Yeah. We just had a lovely weekend away in the countryside for 3 days. And then on one of those days, I got married to my gentleman caller, and that was it. And it was great. And we drank a lot of booze. And do you know
Tell the listeners. Go on, you were about to say.
No, I was going to say, I think I can remember most of it.
Yeah, quite right. It was your wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Tell the listeners what music you walked up the aisle to.
I didn't know whether people could hear it or not.
Oh, yeah, we could hear it.
Oh, could you? Oh, good.
It's great.
I walked down the aisle to The Stripper, which was...
Da, 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 da. Exactly that. That's great.
Which was brilliant.
I told my friend that and he just went, that's fantastic. <That's> brilliant.
Well, you've got to set the tone, haven't you? And then the woman, the registrar said, what an entrance. And then I'm always working, Sally, always working. And
oh,
I said,
always
that's
on.
What he says to me.
Oh, yeah,
always
you did.
On.
You did. So
always
sorry
on.
I trampled over that. Yeah. Big laugh from all. We all heard that as well. Great, great opening. Oh, and again, fnah.
Yeah. Business.
It was so great. And your lovely dress. And you were a good bride, I would say. You were hungover a lot of the time, I suppose, or pissed. But you didn't feel stressed.
No.
To me.
No, I wasn't.
And it was so well organised, I have to say. I mean, it's not often I pay you a compliment, but I thought the attention to detail on this weekend is excellent. Even the little, the cottages had all our names on where we were staying. You'd allocated us all beds and nobody seemed unhappy with who they were sharing with.
No.
I was in the top bunk of a bunk bed.
You were?
Yes, I was. And then April and Sue, who I was in the same room as, they're a couple. They were in the double bed, and I was in, and I could choose a bunk bed, and I chose the top. Yeah, and everyone was surprised. But I thought, I don't like the bottom bunk, because I thought at that point somebody might be in the top, and I thought I'll feel claustrophobic. And then I was impressed with my dextile agility getting up and down those steps to a bunk bed at my age, Lou.
I know, but I was almost expecting you to not even use the ladder, to just swing your labial chair over the top of the bed to just hoik yourself up straight away with your incredible muscles.
Those muscles that I was showing off a lot in the pub on Friday night. Or I could have, what I should have just done is just used the pool cue as a javelin.
Yeah.
Not a javelin, a pole vault. That's what I should have used it.
Yeah.
And flung myself onto the top.
Yeah.
Shouldn't I? That's what I... we should recreate the whole thing so I can do it.
Well, because you're an athlete, you didn't even need the pole vault. You just did it. So
just leapt from the floor to the top bunk.
Yeah.
Without touching the sides and into the under the cover in one move.
Great. And that's you all over, though. You're agile, you're swift. You know what you want. You're in. You're done. Thank you.
Yeah. I had the top bunk, and then on the Saturday when I had to go back for a nap after, of course, before the shenanigans of the evening, I chose the bottom bunk. So I had the bottom bunk as my day bed.
Oh, and that's perfect. Yeah. See, it's great to have different options of where you're sleeping. Great.
Exactly, yeah. Lou. It was great. It was a fantastic weekend. And I was, like I said, I was very impressed. The attention to detail. And I've still got a little bit of cake in my kitchen because I made sure I took a bit of that away with me. So I'll be eating that in a minute. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I tell you what, because we've got about £48 worth of cake left over because my aunt...
You can freeze it. You know that. You can freeze cake.
I'm going to chop it up and I'm going to put it in the freezer. Even though...
Because then I can have some more when I come and visit.
Sheila said, whatever you do, don't refreeze it. And I thought, Sheila, I freeze everything 48 times over.
Yeah, and also, it's cake.
It's cake. I'm still
alive. It's not prawns. It's not prawns, is it? It's cake. It'll be fine. I've actually defrosted fish and refrozen it again in the past, and it's been fine. People are very, just a bit over the top when it comes to all that.
And you know what? And if you do get food poisoning, it's a purge.
It's a purge. It is a purge. You can just lay on your sofa and puke until you're empty.
Yeah. And then you're ready to go. And then you've lost a few pounds. Happy day.
Yeah, ready. Fill up again on some more defrosted, refrozen, defrosted food. And start again. Just a big circle.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Should we ever listen to the podcast, you think? It's Josh Weller.
Probably best, Chad. But thanks, Sally, for being amazing.
Thank you for being a very good friend. And I think Josh was an excellent guest. He's got some great stories, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah, well done.
A lot of knowledge. Josh is... By the way, this is Josh Weller with us. Fantastic, very funny man, very talented man. Also, sorry, Lou, just to talk all over you. Josh has won the podcast. Although I haven't double-checked with Lou if she managed to get any of the liquors that you...
You guys asked me to. I sent you two of my favorite drinks, and you couldn't procure.
We had a month.
The sort of like a gauntlet in a medieval, like a quest you couldn't fulfill, and so I think I should win something.
Okay, do you know what I'm gonna post you, Josh?
You will as well, Josh.
A present I received at the weekend. Which is, for the listener, a very heavy metal squirrel that goes on the outside of your house. Look at the joy on his face. He can't wait to receive this in the post.
I live in East London, so I think if that the outside of my house is the street.
Be so stolen.
I'd have to put it inside.
Yeah, okay.
But I'll take it. I think he's beautiful.
Well, he weighs a lot.
It's going to cost you a lot of money to send that, Lou.
Yeah, that's going to be a high postage stamp.
Yeah, well, I have a bad reputation for posting things. I've posted lots of things recently to good friends of mine, and all of them, bar two, had to pay extra money to receive the present. So I might just put it in the post and you can pay for it. How's that? That's your prize.
Does, doesn't that feel quite good to you in whenever I send someone something and then they're like, I had to go and pay an extra £2. Part of me is like, yeah, fuck you.
Well, the whole point of me sending the gifts was to show my friends how much I value them. And then the irony of that is that they've had to then pay to collect to be told how brilliant I think they are.
Lou, twice
there
now.
There you go.
Anyway. We'll get your drinks as we've alluded to them already, Josh. But just before that, Lou, twice now, has just snuck into this conversation, just hinted about what happened to her at the weekend. She keeps, you know, the presents and also the gift. So you know that there was an occasion at the weekend, Josh, and Lou is trying to tell us. She's trying to get it into the podcast, but I'm sort of pushing her away just to be mean, because even though I received one of these friends' gifts, I wouldn't call myself a friend. So, Josh, of course I love her. So, Josh, tell us, first of all, tell us the drinks that you, the first drink maybe, or one of the drinks that you asked us to get.
Oh, so the first drink was my lockdown drink.
Amazing.
Because I wasn't a big drinker. And then obviously the lockdown stopped that. And after a while, I was like, I'm spending too much money on wine, because I just started buying crates of it. And then so I found this. I started drinking something called Kummel.
Interesting.
K-U with an umlaut, M-M-E-L, which is
German.
It's like a caraway, like a fermented caraway seeds drink, which I don't really know what that is, but I read that on the back. And then I was mixing that with, so I read that Prince Andrew, wait, who's the dead one?
Philip.
Oh, there's loads.
Philip, Prince Philip, the dad.
Philip. Yeah. Philip. So I was Googling Kummel cocktails.
Sorry, there's loads of dead ones is what Lou just said. She's right, there are quite a lot of dead ones. King
true,
Henry
yeah.
VIII.
Yeah, he's gone.
I can also see where you got the mix up with the name Kummel and Prince Andrew.
Yes.
So
exactly.
So Philip, who's not the nonce, he was the old racist.
Yeah, it's the one, yeah.
Weirdly, there was a point where he was the worst one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had a drink that was Kummel and gin. And a something else. So what I did is I started having a double shot of Kummel, double shot of gin, and like a whole lemon squeezed in.
Ooh.
And I called it a gunshot wound.
This is your made up drink as well. This isn't even on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Good for you. Yeah.
Which I think is a great name.
Yes.
For a cocktail.
Yeah.
And that was the other one. And the other one was a Dr. Henderson, which is a Fernet Branca and, creme de menthe, sort of like that's like an old lady leisure kind of. Anything with creme de menthe is for women with pearls.
But Josh, I went to the off license yesterday and they did have the Fernet Branca, but full disclosure, it was about £40 for a bottle, and I thought, I really like
really?
Josh Weller. Yeah, but I thought, I mean, I like him, but I'm not spent. Well,
we've lost the host.
She'll come back. Hang on, we better still record.
What do you think she did on the weekend? Do you know what she did?
Yeah, I was there.
I was there,
and I feel it was such an important weekend for her that I feel horrible if I say it while she's not in the meeting at the moment, because we're still recording. We're just waiting for her to come back. So I think, for the listeners, we need to let her say it, because it was
okay.
Yeah.
Was it a good thing?
It was a great thing. She's
oh, that's great.
A very happy girl.
I just got married. That's all.
Oh.
I just got married.
So back to me. No.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. How long have you been with the person who you married?
About nearly four years, yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Was it a good wedding?
I'll let Sally answer that question for you.
I'll tell you what, actually,
two
things. She married who she calls the GC, the gentleman caller. And this is,
lovely.
So listeners will know of this person. She calls him, she's been calling him the gentleman caller ever since they started dating. and we're all very familiar with the GC. And another thing, was the wedding a good one? Somebody, it links nicely into your reserve drink, this, Josh, because yeah. I've messaged Josh and said, if we can't get this drink, can you recommend another one that you really like? And a friend of Lou's, a lovely man called Ewan, brought 5 litres of Negroni. Ready mixed 5 litres. So Lou was actually puking Negroni on Saturday. So yeah, and so was the girl I was sharing a room with. She was also, well, she wasn't puking it, but she was very sick on Negroni. I, on the other hand, took to it like a babe to a boob.
How many did you have?
Well, it was a 5 litre Kilner jar that he had pre-made, and I think I drank probably 3.5 litres of it.
Yeah, that's too much Negroni.
It was delicious. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It was delicious.
It's too much. Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Josh. Much. Thank you. It's, I mean, yeah. You've ruined Negroni.
Well, they're a drink of diminishing returns. Like, the first mm-hmm. one is incredible. And then after the second one, you go, wow, these are punchy. And then that's where it should stop.
Didn't, though, did it, Lou? Mm.
Anything more than two is like suicide.
Yeah. I had a Negroni last night in anticipation of this record. I went to a very nice I went to Bath and on a day out, and which was lovely. And then we had dinner at Walcott. I'm going to give them a plug because it was a lovely place. I think it was called Walcott House or something. And then when we'd finished the dinner and the wine, we thought we'll have a quick one before we go. And I saw they did house cocktails, but they were like £7 for a cocktail. So I went, oh my God, we should have had these before.
Yeah, that's really good.
So we ordered Negronis. And I have sometimes a Negroni, it might not be that good. These were amazing. Oh my God, they did such a good Negroni. Ooh. And that's where that anecdote ends.
Yeah. Negroni's like a carbonara. Like, it's very simple ingredients, but it's really easy to cook up.
They didn't cock it up,
you know?
At all. Yeah. It was good. Tell the listener, just in case they don't know a Negroni, tell the listener the ingredients, Josh.
It's Campari, red vermouth, gin, all in equal measure. So like either a single shot or a double shot. And then a shaving of orange peel.
Yes.
Not orange, which is a mistake a lot of people make.
Yeah, shove.
It's orange peel.
Lazy, isn't it, when people do that?
And then you do that, you do the twirl with the orange peel, you know, where you turn it into like a spiral staircase. And then you sort of, which I never know if it does anything, and you sort of do that over the glass. So it sort of rains orange peel mist. And then you wipe the glass and stick the orange in. And then... And also, I learned from a cocktail waiter that it's you're meant to do 20 stirs as well.
Didn't know that.
Or you could do what I did and just sort of stand under the Kilner jar tap and just turn it on. Because and then have a friend waft an orange at you while you pretend that you're really thirsty.
I like that. That sounds like a sort of adult Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was everything. There was no adult thing about it. No adult thing about it whatsoever.
Josh, if you were to buy one of those cans of ready-mixed Negronis, for example, which I think are quite good, pretty good, would you then add the ice, obviously, and then would you do your own bit of orange? Would you go to that trouble?
I think if I was in a situation that demanded a can, I probably wouldn't get a Negroni.
Right.
Because I think that to me suggests I'm outside.
Right. Oh, I've got one in my fridge.
Okay. No, I think if I was going to be drinking outdoors, I'd probably get something softer that's not going to get me quite so tanked.
A beer,
as
maybe.
Quickly. Yeah, I'm very much an indoor drinker as I get older. Like, I like drinking alone.
When did you discover the Negroni, Josh?
I discovered the Negroni probably 8 years ago.
Yeah,
I think, and it was just a friend of mine was making them a lot. And he was like, you got to try this. And it's like a kid when you try beer for the first time, you think it's the worst thing you've ever tasted. And then you have it a few more times and you realise it's actually delicious.
I remember when I first sipped a Negroni, I thought, my friend gave it to me. And I went, oh no, nasty. It's very bitter, isn't it? Very bitter. And I thought, oh no, nasty, don't like that. And I gave it back And then I was, and then the aftertaste, I went, well, I quite like it now, because the aftertaste was really nice. So I took it back off him. I went, I'll have that back, actually. I like it.
Yeah, I think when you're young, you want drinks that sort of taste like what you think your future's going to be. You like soft, sweet, sort of fizzy, like, oh, it tastes like, you know, like a lemonade. Like it's, there's hope in what young people drink.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get older and your taste buds and your dreams die, you want something bitter that just gets you, that makes you forget that all your dreams have failed.
And that death is inevitable.
It's coming, so let's speed it up with 5 litres of Negroni.
She puked all day. So Josh, we haven't even asked you a drunk story, and I feel like now is the time to ask you for a drunk story of whatever.
I got, during the pandemic, I got alcohol poisoning.
that'd be the cummel.
From a, it was from an English, it was from an English sparkling wine.
Oh.
Because apparently global warming has made the temperature in the south of England go up so much that the soil is not dissimilar to French soil now.
Right.
So suddenly all these like sort of people in the south of the country are making sparkling wine that's quite good. And my mate was like, I'm not going to say the name of the brand because he's a friend of a friend. But my mate was like, you've got to try this. And I don't like sparkling wine because it gives me a hangover or something fierce. And I drank a bottle of this delicious wine and I don't remember the rest of the night.
Oh.
And then my friend showed me a video the next morning of me with my face in a bowl of mac and cheese. Like unconscious in a bowl of macaroni cheese. And then he pulled my head out and woke me up. And then I was insistent that we watch Lethal Weapon.
Of course. Why wouldn't you after English sparkling wine?
And I kept saying, let's get Lethal Weapon fired up. I don't remember doing it, but I remember watching the video of it. And then, wait, when Lou joins, I'll say something like something really strange. And then three of them were dead and we just had to pretend that they weren't.
Oh no, really? You killed them, Josh.
Well,
we don't know. Three dead.
And the police said it was one of those things that was better left not investigated.
I have to pretend that I was here for the whole conversation.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. God, that's awful that you've done that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's fine.
It's a confession.
I got away with it.
What are we going to do? It's a confession on the podcast, Lee. What are we going to do with this? Are we going to have to get the police involved?
I am the police. It's okay.
Oh, she is. Go and get your hat, Lou.
I can't find anything in this house, Sally, at the moment. Don't ask me to find. I've got a squirrel.
She's got a police hat. Of course she has. Basically, that was a lot of fun, Lou. We just had a little game with you there.
Did you?
Yeah. Nobody died. But because you'd gone, Josh went, oh, when she comes back, I'll just say something outlandish that makes you panic. And you did.
Have you got a list, Josh, of people that you would kill if you could get away with it?
Yeah, I think that murder investigations are so thorough now and there's so many cameras in London. But I think that's the only thing stopping me.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's grim, isn't it?
You know?
Yeah.
Who is top of that list?
I'm not going to name names because that's...
Oh, I've got a list. Right. Sally.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all would. If there was like one night of the year, like The Purge.
Great example. Yes. If we had to.
You know, if you were allowed one a year, you everyone knows who it would be.
Oh, yeah.
Person.
Done.
Yeah,
sorted.
Easy. Yeah. Mm. Oh, it'd be a pleasure as well. Absolute pleasure to do
it. Blame it on like.
But don't blame on anything. You're allowed to.
Oh,
it's just basically who gets to that person, and you just got to hope that you're not the person that somebody wants to kill. Really, don't you?
I was reading about this the other day because I was trying to write a joke about the night before murder became illegal and whether it was like the smoking ban. And that, because there must have been some people in, because it was only in like 15 something that murder became illegal.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, because I was reading about the first documented homicide, and it was it was like 250,000 years ago, and it was a caveman who knocked someone on the head or like hit them over the head till they died.
Wow.
And then, but then threw them off a cliff, which I found funny because it was legal. It wasn't illegal at that point, but he'd obviously killed someone and gone, oh, this is going to be frowned upon. So then pushed them off a cliff, which we didn't need to do.
No. Amazing.
But then it got me thinking, about on the night before, when murder became illegal, the night before, there must have been some people who were like, oh, I've got to do it before midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, and what if you don't have the tools with you? What if you're like, I don't have the strength. I've got very weak wrists. I can't handle.
Yeah, see?
I haven't got my brass squirrel with me to hit somebody around the head. So how
you've sent it to somebody, haven't you, as a well-done prize for winning the podcast.
Exactly.
You've also had 3.5 litres of Negroni. What are you going to do, Lou?
Oh, God, I'd just kill myself.
It's probably easier.
This is quite hard now, isn't it?
Do you know how I'd kill them as well? This is bringing it back to the weekend as well, with a pool cue. Tell Josh about...
Oh, my God.
I spent the whole weekend. There was a pool table there, Josh. Undefeated.
Who, you?
Undefeated.
Wait, which one of you was undefeated?
Me.
No way.
Lou was puking. I was undefeated.
That is genuinely impressive.
I mean, I got 2 D's at A level because of my pool practice. But,
was there a pool table in the college?
There was a pool table in the pub opposite the College of Further Education. Yeah. The Duke of York in the Oxpens car park, as was back in the 80s. And I go there, have Chip Butty put George Michael Faith on the jukebox.
Why
We're
not?
Going back a bit now. And I wonder how much it was, probably 50p back then, wasn't it? Pop it on the side. There was 2 pool tables in the back room, and that's where I learned.
That's good jukebox bang for your buck, because Faith is about 5 minutes long, isn't it?
Yeah, man, Faith and Seal.
Because it has that silly organ intro, doesn't it?
I don't think it's silly, Josh. I don't think it's silly.
And then it goes, but it's a long song.
Are you a fan of Faith, Josh? Yeah, being a musician yourself.
Big fan, big George Michael fan. I interviewed the guy who directed the video.
Did you?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It was a great video, wasn't it?
He found the leather jacket in a thrift store and bought the jukebox and like all that stuff. It was fascinating.
Wow.
And the cowboy boot heel against the wall as it starts. Oh, we can all remember it. We can all picture it, can't we? It was fantastic.
And that this pan round George Michael's ass. Remember that when he's doing
it? Yeah, we all remember that.
He wasn't gay then, was he?
Well,
he was hot stuff.
He was.
Everybody thought they had a chance then. Yeah, man.
Sally, were you inspired to buy cowboy boots after that? Because I was.
I don't think I was, actually.
Oh, were you not?
No, I'm sorry, Lou, to break that story.
Have you seen the video where someone tells Stevie Wonder that George Michael isn't black?
No.
and Stevie Wonder's like, what?
I'm gonna find it.
He was convinced that George Michael, because of his voice, was like a brother.
Wow.
And it's a really funny little clip.
Love that. That's great. So, Josh, let's get back to the booze. What was I gonna say? What was your training drink, Josh? When you were growing up, what was your go-to?
I was always the designated driver. I wasn't a big
Did you what age did you
drinker.
Learn to drive first, so we can just have another competition?
17.
Yeah, and how many tests?
One.
There we go. Same as me, Josh.
And I went to change gear during the test, and I put my hand on the instructor's knee.
That's why you passed.
That's an interesting
thing. Yeah.
Let's ask Lou how many times it took her to pass. What age she was. I know
all of
this.
All of a sudden, the broadband has gone down. Fuck you, Sally. Fuck you.
Was it 8? How many attempts? 8?
4.
4's okay. I think if you get to 8, you should never be allowed to drive.
She is a good driver, I have to say. She's a good driver. And, you know, anyway, so training drink. You're always a designated driver. And so... your friends were drinking. What were they drinking? What year, what decade are we talking?
This is 2004.
Oh. Right. And so what was
around
the drink
that time?
That around then?
I mean, it was in, we were in Norfolk, so it was, there wasn't, it was just whatever there was.
Right.
There was never anything, there was, there, it was a lot of beer, and it was that classic hot fuzz countryside pub thing where if you were 16, they would just serve you in the pub. That happened. There was like one pub, which I won't name, that everyone knew that you could get served in. So we'd all go and drink that. I would occasionally have like a couple of beers, but it wasn't until I moved to London when I was 20 that I would have like drinks. But it was only in my 30s that I started realizing, I was like, oh, I like white wine. I like certain cocktails. I'm not a beer fan because I get drunk very quickly on beer. And I have IBS.
Oh,
as well.
So,
you gotta be careful.
So have a purge.
It triggers the old exit thatch.
Where did that word terminology? That's beautifully put.
I
saw a lovely thatched cottage then with poo coming out of it. That's what I saw. Yeah, it was beautiful.
But what was the? Was there a drink when I was in my? I remember my first beer was in France when I was 12.
Was it a little
and it was
stubby
a,
bottle, or was it?
It was a little stubby.
Yeah.
It was a low
enough,
alcohol
just,
stubby,
and just enough. Those little bottles, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just a nice little. Quench your thirst, move on to something more tasty.
Yeah, we'd all drive down to France with the whole family, and then it would just be 2 weeks of just intense arguing. Where, like, you know, if all the parents would drink too much and they'd get in a big row with the grandparents about how they favoured one grandchild.
Oh,
and we'd
God.
All fall out and no one would talk.
Brilliant.
And then I remember my uncle hit my cousin, over the head with an oar and like split his head open.
Oh,
and then nobody talked.
Right.
It was a 90s family.
Were you camping as well, or were you in a hotel?
It was a campsite. It was a campsite that had like 10 sort of, I want to, chalets too fancy, but like
massive great big
buildings.
Tent thing.
Yeah.
Had a couple of buildings with bedrooms, and we would go there in Dordogne, the Dordogne,
Dordogne.
Oh, you know roughly where you mean. And you'd have to drive down there in a hot car, or was there aircon by
car,
then? Hot car
in the back of the car with my cassette Walkman, listening to Nirvana Unplugged,
right?
And Eagle Eye Cherry's Save Tonight on single, so just over and over over again.
Oh,
and that was when I had my first. My first stubby,
I think you needed it, to be honest. I think you felt like an old man
it.
Who was just like, oh, God, it's the end of the day. I've been through all this. I deserve a drink.
My cousin is dead because he's got an oar in the top of his head that he can't take out. I'm not even the favourite grandchild. Fuck you, Grandma. Fuck you, other Grandma. Why not?
I'm moving to London ASAP.
Yeah, don't mind if I do. Arsehole.
As soon as light is up, I'm off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Conchant, mon frère. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oui.
Oui.
We. Anyway.
We have to decide whether Josh's drinks are a spit or a swallow.
Oh, yeah.
Sally.
Oh, yes, you're right. I forgot that we have to do that. We sometimes forget the purpose of this podcast.
Yeah, we do. We get chatting, don't we? Now, I'm going to say...
No.
Well, obviously, I really enjoy the Negroni because of the amount that I drank, and even
you swallowed a lot of it, Lou.
I did,
so
but
you
I,
can, and then you spat a lot of it as well. So it's a difficult one for you.
Yeah, but on the way out, it tastes exactly the same on the way out as it does on the way in. So yeah, so for that, I'm going to say the Negroni is obviously a swallow for me, and I mean, I did consume a lot, but it didn't put me off. Having another one, I don't think anything would really.
So you would drink Negroni again. It's not one of those drinks where you go, can't touch it now.
No.
It's definitely a swallow.
Yeah, you come in your gin. I did find it on the internet, but then I don't know whether anybody's told you, Josh, but I did have a wedding to pay for, so couldn't quite reach to getting that shipped over from Prince Philip's coffin. So I would assume that it was delicious. And your creme de menthe Great. I've had before. Lovely. Well done. You're a winner.
Three swallows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's, do you know what, Josh? That's not like her as well. She's usually a lot harder on people with their, and yeah.
That's a landslide victory.
She's a married woman. She's not frustrated anymore, Josh. That's what's happened. Oh, she's going to be really boring and nice now. Oh, she's going to be all full of, look at her, full of joy. Just keeps looking at her diamonds on her finger. There it is, look. From me, Negroni, you know what? It's a swallow, but only if it's made properly.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's a spit. Yeah. And last night's at the Walcott something in Bath, absolutely nailed it. The Kummel and the other one, I don't know because I haven't tried them. I mean, I feel fraudulent if I say they're swallows. I trust you, Josh. Mm. And given that you're not a drinker and that's the drink of choice in the lockdown, then. And you drank it to excess. I think it's probably a swallow. Ooh, the man in the off license, when I was asking him about both drinks, gave me a potted history of both, of which I've forgotten because I'm menopausal. But he seemed quite positive about them as well. He seemed to like them. He told me where I should go to get. I'll be honest. I said, I'm in Bath tomorrow. Maybe I should go to the to Waitrose there. They might have it. And he went, if you're in Bath, go to the spirit shop. But in all honesty, by the time I got to Bath, I'd had a glass of wine. And I wasn't I wasn't going anywhere. Definitely swallow for Negroni. The other two, TBC.
And we will TBC, Sally. We will.
Yes, we will.
You can hear the rest of this episode by signing up to our Patreon page at patreon.com/spit or swallow podcast.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Carousel Studios.
And if you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or if you've got any recommendations of your own, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at info@spitorswallowpodcast.com.
And if you have enjoyed the podcast, and why wouldn't you, then please subscribe and leave us a review because this helps other people to find us.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us. Most of all, thanks to you for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!